Wow. Did you hear my response? Wow.
Sorry.
I do understand.
Sorry.
That is so beautiful. What is the name of that that piece that you just played? Is that a raga?
This raga is called Kafi. It is called Kafi, and this piece is called Sundown. It was composed in Goa by Mutriva. She composed this in Goa. It's called Sundown.
Yeah, it was inspired by the beautiful sundown in Goa, yes. Beautiful nature.
That's really, really wonderful. Wonderful, wonderful. And you play it so well. Not that you don't play others' pieces well, you do. But it had, there's something special in it, and perhaps it's because it came out of your heart.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yes. Thank you. Thank you so much. Mm-hmm. Well, Satsang Sunday on Zoom. Om Shri Satche Mahaprabhu Ki Jai, Paramatma Ki Jai, Guru Dev Bhagawan Ki Jai, Satya Sangha Ki Jai. Maharaji and the flowers that Madhu always brings. Mm-hmm. Beautiful spring flowers. Give me a minute. I want to go through the gallery. I didn't go through the gallery. I want to go through the gallery for a minute. So I'll be back in just a second. So nice. Oh, my.
She wants to go to the gallery.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Beautiful. 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 Uh-huh. Unbelievable. Huh? Smile, Shanti. Work your smile muscle. And Jakob, my goodness, Jakob. It's been a long time since I've seen you. How long? Long time. Long time. It's not you. Really nice to see you. It's nice to see everybody. I'm just really happy to see everyone. Oh my gosh. Yeah. Okay, so I've gone through the gallery. I like to see who's here. Mm-hmm. So what do we speak about today? It's been running through my heart. The impermanence and the illusion of life. You can have faith, faith meaning the possibility is open, and I'm willing to move upon that openness. That's faith. I will repeat, faith is possibility. And in my view, of course, this is my view, and you will have your own view. If I want anything, I want you to see out of your own eyes and your own heart what you discover, and possibility in my view is your greatest ally. you can have faith in the great Upanishads and the Buddha teachings and the sutras and the Puranas, these really old and marvelous, I've said it so many times before, writings that have been left for us like lights on the pathway in the darkness, where these beings have gone before and documented through their experience a pathway that we can also discover. And they discovered, like the Ashtavakra Gita and the Bhagavad Gita and the Heart Sutra and the Diamond Sutra, all of them come to show you something that you can discover. You don't have to only believe in it. And you can believe in it up to the point, belief is really a good thing. We sometimes want to throw it out and say, well, just believing is not good enough. That's true. Just believing is not good enough. However, it is like tumbling a lock and opening the gate. And then you don't have to. If you don't want to and you don't feel to, you won't. But I say you have to discover what the great masters have brought to us through inquiry, through looking, through seeing that it is so, not just believing that it is so. Believing is okay, but putting it into, well, you're not really putting it into action because it's already there. It's like, you know, the great mystery does not need your approval or belief to be, whether you agree or don't agree, or whether you completely dismiss is up to you. And that governing factor of intelligence and creativity, maintenance, destruction, evidence throughout eternity here and now requires nothing of you to be. And I really feel that it's very important. Well, I feel it's very important. Whether you feel it's very important or not, that'll be up to you. So I'm going to speak what I sense that I bring to satsang, and you decide what you're going to either do with it or not do with it. God bless you for everything that you do or do not do. The impermanence and the illusion of life are like two sides of a braid. The illusion is that it's so wonderful to really, really receive the, in quotes, meaning of illusion without making it an excuse for whatever happens. Well, it's just an illusion. Well, when you really see that it is illusion, you'll never be able to just flippantly say, well, you know, it's an illusion, so it doesn't matter. It's an illusion because every second has passed. And I really love the Chan masters who say, come present here and now, and discover that there is no here and now. And it's very, very, very simple and incredibly deep. It's looking at creation through the eyes of wisdom, willingness, or why should we see it as an illusion? Because there's so many reasons why we should see it as an illusion, because it is an illusion. Number one, it's elusive. And that we take things so seriously, and sometimes we must, and we're so fearful of life or what we call death, and we're so quick to compare ourselves to the immeasurable illusion, the dreaming of mystery, the mystery dreaming of what we perceive as our life and ourself. And once we're onto it, that it is an illusion, that there's nothing abiding here as we think it is, well, we stop carrying that dead corpse up the hill. And life is a little lighter. I got a message on my Skype before I opened, or before Satsang opened up. Let me see what it says. I have it word for word here. A strong time in the world. Yes. And what if people really realize the impermanence and the illusionary quality of life? Would they? Well, this is kind of a question, and it's not the answer. It's not the answer. It's just a look at it. Would they be more true to themselves and to each other and fear the passing of people, oneself, time, the seasons, the years, with a different view? The illusion, when one sits in nature next to maybe a waterway, maybe the ocean, maybe a river, maybe a little pond, maybe a mud puddle, and just sits quietly, you can see that. For sure, you can see that this moment is, appears to be moving into the next moment from the past moment. And yet, it's always the presence of now, which has no root. Now, this may be seem to be very mental, but it's not. It's not. The illusion of life, the impermanence of life. And it's so important that people realize that life is impermanent, and that people pass. And that we pass, and we're born into a body. Body is born. Spirit is always free of birth and death. And we truly are spirit. And that the illusion is that everything comes into being, is maintained, and passes away. And that the illusion of life and the impermanence of life plays upon that which never, ever, ever changes. And once we see that that is so, we begin to truly identify. We identify as the spirit, the mystery, truth, the incomparable, the absolute, the unborn, the undying, and we live a normal life. And nothing changes in the world, except for we have come to understand what the great masters have lit in front of us and within us as the way to realize our true nature. I was looking this morning at the strangeness of the human species and how the human species seems to always want to fight with each other, hurt each other, compare with each other, dominate each other, be disappointed in each other. And yet there's this undercurrent of life that is not like that at all. It's very loving, it's very kind, it's very generous, it's very neighborly. And I just cannot figure the human species at all, except that we are waking up to the truth that lies within every being, which is illuminated by love. I'm moving it around a little bit, wanting Maharaji in there for sure. There. The impermanence of life, the illusion of, and what's really beautiful about this, this is the most wonderful thing of all. In spirituality means the discovery of the true nature of who I am and all beings are at all times without question, without measure. Though we live in an illusion, it seems very real. And we don't take one and dismiss the other. We can't say, well, life just isn't here. It's so illusionary. No, when you go to the grocery store, you're going to pick off the shelves exactly what you want to eat, and you're going to cook it up, and you're going to have it. And you're going to go to sleep at night, and you're going to visit your friends, and you're going to have your coffee or your tea, and you're going to go to work, and you're going to have your children. You're going to be a neighbor. You're going to raise your children. You're going to love. You're going to be disappointed. You're going to, and all that still goes on. My view of that is, without realizing the illusion and the impermanence of life, life is very hard. Realizing the illusion of life as, because it is, not because we're making it up, just because it is. And the impermanence of life, it gives a whole different breath. It gives a whole different heartbeat. It gives it's a whole different view and everything remains the same, but you live it differently. You really do. All the dichotomies, oh, it's this or that. There's no dichotomy in spirituality. There's no, if it's this way, it can't be that way. It is as it is, without question. It is impermanent. It is an illusion, meaning a dreamlike nature where everything simply unfolds as it does here and now, and there's no root to the moment. It's so beautiful. It's unbelievable. We're not making it up. We're not making it up. Anyhow, if anybody would like to raise their hand, that's what I have to say. And I don't want to over-explain it because it becomes intellectual, but not but. When your curiosity is sparked about your true nature and your unborn, undying, totality of being and how life is, revealing that, try to catch a second. That's a really good indicator. And as Ashtavakra said, the little 8-year-old magnificent master said, and let's keep it for our Sangha and for each other, sit in your own radiance. In your own magnificence. In your own splendor. And everything will be revealed to you. Well, it's just a breath, Bhagavati. Just go to your breath. I am alive. I have no idea what that means. I don't know where it comes from. I do not know where it's going, but I realize that the love in my heart and in existence as I perceive it tells me something about it that I cannot explain. And that's the way I'm going to live. And I'm going to, and I am, whatever, however this is stated, never deny for one moment the divine nature that is I am. It's enough. The fact that you can look out your window and see the sun is more than enough. I remember what Liberace used to say. Remember Liberace, the piano player? He used to say, too much of a good thing is wonderful. I'm on with him. Too much of a good thing is really wonderful. Why we don't see it like that? There's some stones in the way that gives us skill. There's little troubles and little storms that show up. Okay. Too much thinking too much thinking That's all there is. So who's got their, who's coughing? Please turn off your microphone, you who are coughing. And we have Sahara. Sahara, please come on.
Namaste, Shanti Mai.
Namaste, Sahara. How are you doing?
I'm doing very well. I'm at my mom's house.
Yeah, okay. And
with the
I want to say something, Sahara, before you begin. You're doing very well, and you have a ton of weight on your shoulders that life has put there for now for you to figure out, and you're doing, as far as I can see, pretty well. Pretty well. And the pretty isn't a minimizing factor. It is, there's a lot of weight there, a lot of things going on. And you're coming through it very well. Mm-hmm. But there's a lot of weight there. So I just want, when you say I'm doing very well, I just want people to know that there's some real hardships along your pathway right now. Go ahead.
My sharing of the moment is that I've been pondering over these days. It's been a slew of things, a tsunami of tsunamis. And in my consideration of it, it is when you're sharing this, these teachings about the illusory quality of our experience. I've been wondering what it is to consider one moment more important than another, one phone call more important than another. And it seems that the elevation and the relative importance makes one breath more important than the next, or at least I place value on one interaction over that with another. And I find that that diminishes the amount of energy and focus and presence I have in each of those moments. That valuation, the judgment that this is so important and not so much this, has created, I noticed that requires a lot of energy to consider something more important. I find that if I think of something as being more important, that it requires more energy between those moments when you're not actually thinking you're having a moment, but you are. Well, rather than third personing that, when I'm thinking I'm not having a moment, that I'm between moments, that requires a certain kind of energy when you're thinking about something, considering it, wondering, and all of these things. And then when I'm actually in that moment that I've been considering, I have less energy available to actually be present in that moment. And the more
I see what you're saying. So you're saying to mull it over already takes a lot of energy before you even get to the moment. And when you get to the moment of what you're mulling over in your mind, you're exhausted from mulling it over in your mind. Is that what you're saying?
Exactly that, Shanti Mai. Thank you.
Yeah, no, that's true. That's what I was also saying. If when people go into a barrage of thinking, boo, 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 rather than just calming it and seeing how it moves, and it will move, and it will move according to how you move it, right? Sometimes, and sometimes it moves according to the way it moves without your input. I like that part. And resolution is a very, very wonderful and compelling look at life, because the universe is always resolved in drought, in life in storms, in beauty, in days at the ocean, in the whole universe, in every moment, everything is absolutely resolved. And when we step to what resolution is requiring of us, confident that the resolution is imminent, it will show itself always. And you will move in it. Maybe you have a conversation, maybe you don't, but you will see that I need not fight this. I need not think about it too much. I need not burn my brain out over something like this, because resolution is beckoning me, calling me to be present and to watch it open up. Whatever my participation or standing back, whatever that is, the resolution is always there. And it seems to me that it's always there in a peaceful way. Maybe coming to it is not peaceful, but at the end, resolution is always peaceful. One feels relieved, huh? Is that true, Sahara?
Oh, Shanti Mai. That's and the creative spirit that is available in that presence that you're speaking of. Like, there's so many more possibilities that are open when one hasn't already prejudged something as being, this is significant, this is not significant, this is important, that's not important. And, you know, I'm realizing that we live in a world where I'm solving problems or interacting with situations. And it's no longer Milarepa picking up stones and carrying them up mountains. You're texting. I'm texting a friend a funny thing. I'm texting about my mom's mold thing. I'm texting about this health issue with somebody. I'm texting. That's all I'm doing. And thinking of how to say it and who to say it to and when. But it's not, it really is, that valuation is only internal. And it is, I've been sitting with this for the last day or so, realizing how much energy has been depleted without value, just costly. It's just expenditure of energy without.
It's true. It's true. It's very costly. And very costly, meaning that there's a lot of energy expended out . Well, I guess, who was it? Was it Mark Twain who said, or was it Tennessee Williams, or one of those great guys who had great quotes, who said, whatever I worried about never happened. Mm-hmm. Never what I worried about ever happened. It didn't happen in that way. And I really appreciate what you're saying. Because for one thing, I know the, as you call it, tsunami that's come over you from, excuse me, from so many directions all at once. You're really good to handle those things. You're a good juggler. You juggle very well. But I know that it's hard. It's really hard right now. Resolution is there. And I would always say, be more at peace with whatever it is that you have to face so that you can face it really well. So that you don't expend all that energy, so that you don't project all of these things, so that you don't infer one inference after another inference after another inference and say it could be. You know, when I was working at the park, I tell this story every once in a while. When I was working at the park, I used to fight with myself in my mind to see who would win. I'm sure that you do it too. It doesn't look to me like it's all that foreign, but I used to fight with myself, and then I would poke at this thing, and then I'd answer that thing, and then I'd poke it over here, and I'd answer it over there. And I just realized how crazy that was, you know, and crazy in a fun way. I'm not a worrier about going insane. I think the whole world's insane, and I'm in it for whatever it is. I don't even care about anything like how crazy I could be, what's wrong with me, how come I can't, all this regurgitation of BS. I just stopped it. Stopped fighting with myself. Stopped thinking that was a good thing to spend time at. And all of a sudden, you remember, Sahara? I saw this leaf. The leaf was a revelation. I saw this leaf outside my window just moving like this in the wind. And I saw what great peace it brought to my heart. And I said, if a leaf can bring that peace to my heart, why can't I live like that always? And right then, I started, in my own experience, I started to move in that direction. And I gave up looking for problems. Problems still came around, but I didn't make them up anymore. And I wasn't excited about what's going to happen. What's the next drama coming around the corner? That all stopped. So I think it has something to do with what you're talking about. Come to peace, step by step. Let the design, which becomes very complicated, dissolve away and see how it moves on its own with your participation or without your participation, whatever is required. Are we speaking the same language right now?
We are, Shantimai.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you for bringing it up.
Thank you, Shantimai, as always.
Hopefully, Sahara, you'll be able to, in that realization that you're having there, you'll be able to drop some rocks off the shoulders, even though the waves are still coming in, you'll be able to maybe float the wave a little bit more.
I can feel that.
Maybe, totally.
I can feel that.
I'm glad about it.
I can feel the release coming from your words and from that, the insight that is. Yes, it's still an evolving process of that recognition of, but there, I can feel a release because the thoughts I've had about things, like really carefully thinking about things, I've realized are not valuable in the moment. Like it does not inform, like I've had so many things that I haven't been able to think things as thoroughly through as, you know, so, and then I realized that my...
Well, that's been let me come in there, Sahara. That's been a blessing.
Yeah.
That's been a blessing that you can't think everything so thoroughly through. This is the tsunami's grace. It's going to wash away a lot of what you ever thought. And it's going to destroy a lot of what you ever thought, which is really, really good. Yeah, it's not just my words, Sahara. It is, it's that you have looked and that you're looking and that something's knocking at the door of peace within you and saying, open up now, I've had enough. Because it is always there. Even when the tsunami comes over, you know, it is there. The peace is there. And this is an insistent time. Yeah. I wouldn't try to talk anybody into anything. I'd put them in the car, give them their plane ticket, and go. Anyhow.
Oh, I say thank you.
That's something. Say Sahara Namaste. Thank you. Thank you very much. Kamala. No choice in this matter. Kamala, go ahead, please. We have all of the hands that we can address right now. We'll see if after Max and Gabriella, if we can go on. Go ahead, please, Kamala.
Namaste, Shanti Mai.
Namaste.
It's a pleasure to be here with you, and thank you for making this possible, and the team also. Thank you for making this possible. I have an
Yes. Go ahead, please.
I have an experience and questions about that. I was waking up in the morning, and a part of me was really conscious and clear, and I observed thoughts are coming in, and I asked myself, oh, wow, where do they come from? And who is thinking this? It's not me. I'm 100% sure this is not me thinking. And and my question now came after that. I said, oh, my God, where are we going when we sleep? Are we 100% awake while we are sleeping and the body is laying down and we don't remember that? This is my question.
Yes.
Yes.
Take a look. Because my answer is only a direction. It's an arrow flying in the direction that you have requested me to aim. The answer is yes. I will tell you, and I have told this story before, and all my stories I have told a million times before. But this one fits really well right now. And it is, again, Ashtavakra. So I'm going to take a moment to tell this story to you. And then, unless you have something else, we will be complete. Okay?
Okay.
It's the story of King Janak, who, by the way, was a great king. He cared about his people. That made him a great king. Janak was laying in his palace on his bed, and his subjects were fanning him with banana, with the banana leaves and this big fan overhead as he slept, and he was dreaming. And he dreamed that the neighboring sovereign king was going to take his land through war. And Janak became very concerned about what he was going to do and how he was going to manage this. And he woke up, and the banana leaves were fanning him. And the big fan overhead was fanning him. And he looked around. Oh, and he fell back asleep, and the dream came on to him again, and he found himself defending his sovereign land and his people, but he was running, and he was running away, and he didn't know what to do, and he was in a cornfield, and they were coming in on him. The army was coming in on him, and he woke up, and his subjects were fanning him. And the fan overhead. And King Janak got very concerned about what was going on here, like you. You can see you and King Janak in the same. It is. So King Janak said to all of his wise beings, I imagine there were some women in there, some men in there, the pundits were there, the philosophers were there. And he said, I want to know what's real. When I close my eyes and I dream, is that a reality? Or when I open my eyes and I have this experience, is that a reality? And no one could answer him. So they all went to jail until they could answer. That was his resolution. If you can't answer me, you're going to jail. So in the town, there was a young boy who wanted, this young boy, by the way, when he was in the womb, corrected his father's Sanskrit. His father was a pundit, made a mistake, and from the womb he said, you made a mistake. He wasn't even in the birth yet. So anyhow, this, you know, these are historical accounts of the great souls. Ashtavakra is an historical being, and so is King Janak. They're not just stories. So this little boy, he says to his mother, where's father? Where is father? Mother says he's in jail. He says, my father's in jail? He said, yeah. She said, yes, your father's in jail. He said, what did father do? She said, he couldn't answer King Janak's question. And King Janak decided to put everybody in jail who couldn't answer the question, who was wise. And he says, well, what's the question? He said, King Janak wants to know if the sleeping dream is real or the experience of the day is real. And Ashtavakra says, oh, I can answer that. No problem. So Ashtavakra means bent in eight places. His father cursed him when he corrected him from the womb. So he's like this, right? He's like, oh, he can hardly walk. He's bent in eight places. That's what his father did to him. He goes to the palace. He knocks on the great big huge door. The guards come out, they look at this little guy who is all bent up in eight places, and they said, and what do you want? And he says, I want to answer the king's question. And they said, oh, okay, come on in. Ashtavakra, they say he was just a nine-year-old child. Just under 10 years. And he's walking down the palace hallway and he gets on the king's throne and he sits and everybody is horrified who sees it. King Janak comes out. He's not horrified. He sits with the little boy and he says, you think you could answer my... And he says, oh yeah, no problem. He says, then answer it, please. He said, neither are real. He became King Janak's guru at that time. And it's enough. Are you awake when you're sleeping and dreaming? Are you awake in deep sleep? Yes, you are awareness. And it's a great discovery that you're on to. Just breathe it and it'll be shown to you. You don't have to go, you know, King Janak only asked the question, what is real? The answer came, neither one is real. And King Janak left it at that because he knew it was true. He didn't have to like think it all out and get it all weighed out and decide what it is and what it isn't. And he just heard the actuality of it. And that's enough for you as well, by the way. It'll be you will see when you leave it simple. It's exactly what Sahar was talking about. Leave it simple. The resolution is imminent because I'm walking into it participating in it, and I don't have to design it because that design might not be the way the resolution comes. And it may be actually a trap for me. I may be setting a trap for myself. Or, as I think Mark Twain said, what I worried about never, ever happened. It's a beautiful thing. It's not a thing. I always like to watch my language very carefully. It's a beautiful, beautiful, simple, extraordinarily deep and revealing point that you're coming to. I would suggest don't complicate it.
Yeah. Thank you. This is really a beautiful answer. Thank you.
Yeah. Well, that's due to King Janak, who is one of my favorite sovereigns. I just love him with all my heart. I love the King Janak stories. He was really, really, really great. Thank you. Thank you, Kamala. Thank you for bringing it to satsang. Mm-hmm. So we move to Gabrielle and Max. Namaste, namaste. Where were you in Germany? I was wishing to see you too, Gabrielle.
I stayed at home, Shanti Mai.
Oh, I thought so.
Yes, I did. I'm sure I will be at some satsang someday, but I didn't feel like going last time. Just wasn't there.
Well, I understand that. I understand it perfectly. So we have the grace of Zoom.
And a wonderful Zoom it was last Sunday. It was wonderful. Very special.
Yes, and we went upstairs.
Yes.
And finished the satsang.
Max was there.
Yes, Max was there. Mm-hmm. What's on your awareness?
Well, I wanted to come back to Sahara, and when he said, like, we are giving more importance to one thing than to another, and that is actually creating a burden. I could feel that burden on my shoulder right away. So, and it touched me deeply because I could see that I've been doing that all my life, always looking at the importance of things and trying to bring forth something of importance. And I can see that this really has been, a very heavy burden I've been carrying around, and also an obstacle to be available as fully as I wish to be available. For life as it is.
And what is the solution in your view?
Well, basically, to stick with the not knowing from moment to moment.
Oh, God, that is so beautiful. I'm just going to blow up. How accurate is that? Oh, Siddha, really and truly. Yes.
Thanks for asking.
Yeah. Well, now that you have seen, you can enter.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. again and again and again and again and again. And be not disappointed when you begin measuring again. Just see that when you begin measuring again, it's a real blessing to show you not to bother.
Yeah.
Well, error is always a blessing to show you how to return to where you want to be rather than where you don't want to be.
Yes, and I've been looking at my experiences, particularly during satsang, and it felt like a continuous opening and opening deeper and deeper. And when I felt it, I could see there's no way to measure this deeper in any way. It's no possibility to tell what it actually is. But I feel
that's the thing right there. Hold on. That's a very important realization. See, realization just keeps occurring and occurring and occurring and occurring. Maybe there's a pop at one point and you can say, I've realized my true nature, and you have. And you're never going to doubt it again. But still, these incredible realizations keep bubbling up and bubbling up and bubbling up to the words don't come. I don't want to say without being very accurate in my language. These realizations, like the one that you and Sahara and Kamala have brought to us all in satsang, well, I can just say are like open windows. I'm not going to say more. I'm not going to say what the language could be easily misconstrued. So the light is there. And this wisdom emerges and governs the life and reveals and reveals and reveals and reveals and reveals. Mm-hmm. Wonderful, really wonderful.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you too. Thank you too. We can close now, or we can go on for one more hand raising. We could. We certainly don't need to, that's for sure. But if anybody wanted to raise their hand and thought that they would like to bring something into the satsang, you're invited at this point. And if not, that's fine. Chanda. And Chanda will be our last. We'll address Chanda and complete the satsang. Mm-hmm. Chanda.
Hello,
Shanti. You look a lot like with an extra eye. Nothing. No. Nothing.
I didn't think there was an interruption.
I think it was worthless. Go ahead.
Okay. Good to be here. Thank you so much for being here with me, with us. And it's a very very opening time. And I do kind of find my own way moving along with silence and creativity. And still I'm stumbling over what you were calling before sometimes like hindrances, or life is hard, you were saying at the beginning, you know. It's been...
I want to come in for a second. Is that okay?
Sure.
You're always on your own. Go ahead. You're never dependent on anyone. You can never be dependent on me, that's for sure. And you can't be dependent on the picture behind you, that's for sure. So it is a matter of always realizing that you are on this journey and that you are governing this journey in some sense. And God is governing this journey, which is within you. And when you realize that God is within you, this wisdom emerges and governs your journey. But nobody's holding you up. They're certainly supporting you, but nobody's holding you up. You are standing on your own two feet at all times, always, always. And that's the good news. Go ahead, please.
Actually, it's so rich. Life is so rich. You know, it's all right. Everything is very well processing. And thank you for being here. That's what I want to say. Thank you for sharing this.
I'm really glad. But, you know, I think it's really important. And I think what you've brought in just kind of a passing sentence is also very, very important. You know, we're all here supporting you, everyone. Sangha, Buddha, teachings. And yet it is through your own realization, your own walk, your own integrity, and your own mastery that all of this comes together. No one, you cannot depend on anyone to hold you up, and yet everyone is supporting you.
Absolutely. 100%.
I think it's really important.
That's very important.
I think it's really important. Yes.
And a lot of fun. Discovery is such a blissful journey, yeah. When you come, explore the light and the silence, the vastness of it all. It's more than amazing. It's blissfulness. It's gratefulness.
And yes, yes. I always love to speak with you, and you know the reason that I point out what you have pointed out is because people oftentimes feel like their guru is like always sending them a lifeline, you know, like they're drowning and then it's always the guru who sends out the lifeline and pulls it. It's not. The master is there to show you that you are the master. And that is the job and the blessing of the relationship. And everything is supporting you in life. Everything. Everything is blessing you and supporting you in life.
That's right.
And we have the big privilege to serve you in reminding you and pointing out blessing. And you have that same power for others, and you are offering it right now, actually.
Yeah,
you can always feel your own sense of, well, whatever it is. It could be nobility, it can be love, it can be integrity, it can be whatever brings you to yourself, as you say, in joy, even in the most difficult times. No one can walk this journey for you. I love that.
Oh, yeah, it's that which is making us strong and making us strong and becoming
absolute.
That's it, you know.
And this upholds the whole universe. I mean, when you recognize that I've always had this strength. It's just emerging from me because I am acknowledging that it is so, and I'm going there in my strength. Then you have served every being on the planet.
The first part, it was an interruption in the internet. I'm sorry. I wasn't able to
understand,
to hear it well.
Okay. It's best to download it and go ahead and hear it again because I'm not sure where it.
That's true.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm trying various things to just like slow down or to go fast, you know, in my daily life to support my body and just to relax what is. That's what I'm exploring and also meeting the people where silence and creativity enhances peace. Well, that's about.
Yes.
In company is really good.
Yes. So I'm always here for you, and that you are here for you makes our relationship perfect.
Wonderful. Thank you so much for being here with all of us.
Thank you too. And thank you for bringing to satsang and making satsang rich. Thank you. Namaste.
Namaste.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I love it. So Oops, Maharaji, we want you fully in. There's no question about that, but we're talking about a drawing, huh, of Maharaji. Mm-hmm. Sahara, you have something else on your mind? You get to know somebody well enough that you can just see it from a distance. Go ahead, Sahara, please.
It's been moments of release. It's really, I can feel, like you said, the tsunami was an incredible gift.
Yes.
And I can feel.
Yes.
That habituated process from, you know, my tiniest self till now, how that all those things evolved into this fascination with thinking about things rather than being present. And I can, mm-hmm. I can feel that it was a deep bodily, rather than mental release, if that language makes sense. It
makes all kinds of sense, and particularly when you say that the tsunami. And it is a tsunami. I know because we have conversation. Is almost back-breaking And when you stand up in the moment, this is so important what you say, in the presence rather than then everything, and maybe it's little by little, we shall not decide how that happens, but the weight comes off and the strength and your ability and your skill is revealed to you. Good fortune.
Thank you, Shantimai.
Mm-hmm. Good. Thank you, Sahara. Thank you all. It's been a really good satsang in the sense, well, I think all satsangs are good. Sometimes people write to me and say, that was a really good satsang. All satsangs are divine and marvelous because you are here and I am here. And the versation, the outpouring is the light of wisdom and love within us. This is the time we take, as we do in our lives, but this is a time we take to gather in this light. So maybe one satsang hits you a certain way and maybe offers you something that you've heard for the first time that's only been spoken about 1,000 times before. And we begin to evaluate which satsang is better and which is, it just drives me crazy. They're all good. Because you're here, because you care, because you're wise, because you're divine, because you're true, because you are skilled, and because you're loving. And you cannot evaluate yourself, let alone anyone else. You can just see the result of the way you approach. Mm-hmm. There is no measure here. How can you measure gold and fish in a dream? You can't. You can't compare them. You can't hear also. It's a different kind of dreaming, but it is a dreaming. It is. Mm-hmm. The reality is in that which never changes, which is always true. And I have to stop saying any words at all because we'll just confuse it. Confuse, make confuse you. So we leave it. Mm-hmm. Faith means the entire array of possibility here and now. I move in that direction, certain that possibility is pregnant with all kinds of results and potential. This is my faith. So let's see. Let's go to, again, Pradeepji and Mutriba. And I have the sense that they will play something wonderful again that we can close with.
Mm-hmm.
Wonderful. Wonderful, wonderful. Beautiful.
Thank you so much.
You know, I have to say, listening to you, you have always played very well. Not, I don't need to evaluate, I'm just listening. I'm not deciding that you're playing very well. It's obvious. Coming back from India, something has changed. Something has changed. And it's just wonderful always to hear you, always. Thank you so much for your offerings.
Thank you.
Namaste.
Namaste.
Namaste, and thank you everybody for coming. What a gorgeous blessing it is to see you all and to have this time with Shanti Mai. Look out for next week's email. If you have any questions during the week, please don't hesitate to ask. And Lord willing, the creek don't rise. We'll see you next Sunday. Namaste.